Denny, good morning to you.
Morning, gents. Lucky we didn't have that grand final in Queensland, eh? Remember all that jibber?
What was that one?
We're going to take the grand final of Queensland. We're going to take the...
Oh, yeah. Imagine that if Parramatta and Penrith were playing.
That would have been a great idea.
Would have been a disaster, wouldn't it?
Anyway, we just had to bear... We had to listen to all that stuff about, oh, yeah, we're definitely under threat. And, oh, my God, the time we wasted on that rubbish. You know, imagine that. Imagine if we were playing this great... Derby in Queensland, it would have been a disaster. So thank goodness we had some smart heads in the end make the decision that, you know, it's being played here. And you know, we had the All Sydney Grand Final in Queensland last year, didn't we? That was the first one since, was it probably Bulldogs South in 14? So we haven't had this sort of a treat like this in Sydney for quite a while, and it's just so exciting.
It's going to be a massive occasion for both clubs and for differing reasons. Obviously, Parramatta trying to break that hoodoo of 36 years and Penrith in their third consecutive grand final trying to go back-to-back. Plenty of storylines and plenty of rivalry, Denny. I mean, from what you saw on the weekend, do you give Parramatta a really good chance of causing an upset, or do you think that Penrith will just be too good?
Laurie, the way I saw it, but Parramatta played well below their best and still had a win. And I think they got there a lot on courage and defensive resolve. But I think it took a lot out of them too, playing up there in that heat and having to really, you know, claw their way into the game and hang on at the end. I guess the one bonus of it may have been that, I don't know, maybe we didn't see the best from their halves and they still managed to have a win. So I guess that gives them some hope. But I've thought all season long Penrith were the team, and nothing has changed my mind. Not a thing. And that Penrith are just a machine, and I feel like they've been sort of trying to... They're like in a racehorse term, I guess they're peaking at the right time, aren't they? That's how it strikes it. But they couldn't have had a better preparation than what they've had. And they haven't had a... They couldn't have had a smarter preparation. The players are now experienced at this level. Parramatta have hardly got a player who's been in this sort of game. I was out at Parramatta training yesterday, and they looked relaxed, which was good. They had the music playing, the fans there. Gutho wasn't quite doing the Gutho Arena, but he was bopping along really and singing along to songs. And He looked pretty like a cool and calm, and he's gonna set the tone for that team. But they have got a couple of interesting issues. Let's talk first of all. Look, we broke the story on Nine last night that it looks like Nathan Brown could come out of Wilderness and be on the bench, and that's a big grand final story because there's been all this talk about a blow-up with Brad Arthur. You've heard it, right, guys?
Yep.
And all of a sudden, we're hearing, I mean, it's not confirmed yet, but as of last night, I was convinced that he's in the side. I don't know whether that's how it's going to come out, but that's the mail I was getting.
Wow.
And that he knows it, and that Bryce Cartwright would probably be 18th man. And Brown is an interesting player. Like, he's got impact in him. He's got great leg speed, but he's got errors as well. And he's also got, he can give away a penalty. So in some ways, I understand why Parramatta may need his impact. And I wonder whether he'll be chucked on to try and rough Penrith up a bit, niggle them. get at Nathan Cleary. I don't know. What do you see in that sort of?
I just think Parramatta have to be brave with their selections. I really do. I don't think they can be conservative. I just think they've got to lay it all out there and just have a crack. And I think Nathan Brown will be a good selection. Granted, everything you said there before, yes, he's got errors in him, he's got ill discipline in him. But if I'm the opposition, Nathan Brown, in your face, aggressive, he can rattle the cage of a few people, he can do things that others can't. So he'd be one of those players that I'd least like to face in a grand final. So I think that'd be a very good selection, and it'd probably be one of the biggest selections we've seen since Paul Osborne in 94, getting a run from nowhere, you know?
Laurie, he's a risk, though. There's an element of risk with it. He hasn't been part of the team. I think it's 3 months. Mm. I think it's 3 months. It's definitely a bit of a gamble, but I guess, like you said, I like your thought that Parramatta has to be brave because you've got to try something to upset the Penrith machine.
Yeah, and that's the call all week for them. I think just be brave. Take being brave into the game and play that style of football. If you get behind by six early, don't go into your shell and don't worry about, just thinking about completions for the next six sets. Just play football, offload the ball, and I think that's their best chance of winning. I just think their best chance of winning is to be brave and attack it for the full 80.
Laurie, for me, I think the old-fashioned front row is their key. I think that we saw just how devastating Regan Campbell-Gillard can be. He's playing unbelievable football. We saw Junior Barlow, wasn't as big last week, but his ability to offload is key. Reed Marnie, the way he can orchestrate things in the ruck, he's not far behind someone like Appy Coruscant, is he?
No.
And he's a tough little bugger. Like, I've talked to him a number of times in recent weeks, and he loves being in the land of the Giants. He loves being in there, belting the big blokes. He's not scared of anything. And I love him as a player. Mm. And the way he, around the ruck, he's magnificent. And he's a huge loss for Parra next year. But they also had other concerns. Tom Opacek, he was doing, not hiding anything Parramatta. He was doing a long fitness test in front of, I don't know, there must have been 15, 20 cameras there yesterday. And our camera captured what he was saying at one point. We could see you could read his lips saying, "I've just tweaked it," in terms of his hammy. Mm. And he started to use his hand to signal that he was concerned. So I think he's a long shot. I don't know when they'll officially rule him out, but it feels like he's a long shot. And I guess Dean Bailey Simons would come right into the equation again. I don't know.
He's a good player, Bailey, and he's had that grand final experience. But I think Nathan Brown would be an inspired choice. I think that would certainly give Parramatta plenty of confidence. And the other thing it does, like when you break it all back and break it all down, Penrith have got plenty of strengths, but one of their biggest strengths is their kicking game with Nathan Cleary. And for me, in that first final, Parramatta, because they play Campbell Gillard and Paulo for long minutes, they can't sustain an effort, their tights, at applying pressure when they need to Cleary. All right? And if you're going to beat Penrith and you're going to put pressure on him, your middles at some stage have to get forward and put him under pressure. But it takes a lot of energy to do that. So if you've got Brown, Kaufusi and Madison on your bench, Madison's capable of playing as an edge, but he plays predominantly as a 13, as a tight. So therefore, you can play these guys, your Campbell Gillards and your Paulos, less minutes, and have these other guys play a few more minutes, but have a total focus on your tights putting kick pressure on. And I reckon that might be one reason Brad has decided to go down that path. Because if you allow Nathan Cleary all the time in the world to kick, as we saw in all season and in all big games, he'll kick you to death. But you have to have people in there that are prepared to not only do the work with the ball, but without the ball. And I reckon if he cuts down some minutes, if it's in a tight game, you can get minutes out of Brown going on as a tight, Kafusi is a tight, and Madison is a tight. You can rotate that pressure, kick pressure, kick pressure, kick pressure, kick pressure. And for me, that's an inspired choice, and that's something that I believe they need to do, because they didn't do it in that first week of the finals. They saved all their energy to carry the ball. They had none putting pressure on him in defence.
Have you seen a better kicking game than Nathan? I mean, all of a sudden, right, he's suddenly almost as good as Matt Burton with a floating bomb, right? He's got that short, grubbering game now where, you know, teams are second-guessing themselves in a big way. I know Ricky had a great kicking game, but an all-round kicking game, I mean, Daly Cherry Evans has got one, but I just don't know whether I've seen a better and more composed kicker, and you throw in his goal kicking, than Nathan Cleary. It's remarkable. Like, and he's got, you know what I like about Penrith? They are a smart tactical team. They worked south-south, didn't they, with Luttrell. I think they've been saving that for a while, exposing him in the way that, you know, he wasn't covering things at the back properly. They knew it. They knew how to beat South, and I reckon they'll have something like that up their sleeve for Parramatta. I reckon they've saved something. I know we saw them bomb Wanga really heavily, and obviously Gutho. But I reckon they'll have another tactic up their sleeve, and I think it probably revolve around Nathan's kicking.
Yeah, he's got a wonderful kicking game, and those floating bombs, regardless of who you are, you're going to struggle because you hear the footsteps coming and the ball floats and drifts away at the last moment, and they're just hard to take. But anyway, we'll see how it all unfolds on Sunday, but I think it'll be a really good game, and I think Parramatta's best can get over the top of Penrith, but it's about breaking them down. Penrith are just a mighty unit. And if they win this grand final, Denny, you know, they'll be considered one of the great of the modern eras.
It's a big game for their in their history, I reckon. They either go down as one of the great club sides, or they'll go down as a really good one. I mean, like, you look at, I think the Roosters were in a few grand finals in the early 2000s, and I think they came up 1-3. I think Manly had a similar thing in the 90s, and they're all considered very good sides, aren't they? But it's the great sides who can string them together. And back 2 out of 3, that puts them in the great category, like for all time, doesn't it? I mean, it elevates them, and this is their chance to grab some history and write their names down, you know, in thick black pen, saying we are one of the great teams of all time, or of modern times at least.
I'll tell you, I'll tell you two other people that can write their own bit of history, Denny. Is Mitch Moses and Brad Arthur.
Yes, yeah. Look, the talk's on quiet on Brad, hasn't it?
Yeah.
A week ago, he's still under the pump, but yeah. I think there's a lot more to Brad Arthur than he called himself a bush coach after the victory the other night. There's a lot more to Brad than that in terms of man management. Players seem to really like to play for Brad Arthur.
I just like his honesty.
Yeah.
You know, and again, he said, I never said I was the greatest coach, but...
Well, he's not.
But I'm here. But he's got the respect of the players, and that's all that matters, and they've got this siege mentality that no one gives us a chance, and that was evident after the game on the weekend. When everyone spoke, it was all about no one gave us a chance. So that would have been drilled into them, and it'll be drilled into them again this week.
Yeah, it's old-fashioned stuff, isn't
yep,
it?
Yep, and I love it.
And Brad's that sort of coach. I think he's that sort of bloke. But I think there's more to him than just being, you know, a gruff bloke who, you know, players like to rally around and do their best for him. Even back in his, I remember when he was like an assistant back at Manly, you'd turn up to training and be wrestling the blokes. You know, be up wrestling Chock Watmo and these sort of lunatics who are just so tough. He didn't care. He was in there, you know, mixing it with them. I think he got the players' respect for that sort of thing. And like, he's as fit as a fiddle. He works super hard. I don't think he's corporately a favourite. You know, like, I don't think he fits into that mould. I don't think he's a schmoozer. I think he.
But you don't have to be as a head coach.
I don't think so. But it helps. I don't think he plays the political games, obviously. Yeah. Because not everyone loves him politically at Parramatta, but he's got him into the grand final, and his future is now assured. And if Parramatta was silly enough to let him go at any point, he walks into another club, doesn't he? So it's a great credit. And Mitch Moses, I mean, for years we've talked about the Sterlo curse, the great Peter Sterling and the number 7 jumper at Parramatta, and I'm not saying Mitchell Moses is, you know, in Sterlo's class by any stretch. He's Sterlo is an all-time great. But he's shown that, you know, he can help guide a team into a grand final. It wasn't his greatest game last week, but it was his potentially. I think he showed a commitment to the cause greater than he's ever shown by not being. It was a huge call. Huge call not to be at the birth of his child. Massive. I don't think that can be underestimated. And that showed to his teammates his level of commitment. And I guess huge praise to his partner as well, because I don't know how well that goes down with everybody. But, you know, he just showed what it meant to him. And I know the players appreciate it. I talked to a number of them yesterday about it. And they really appreciate the massive sacrifice. He didn't play, like, his kicking game was off. But, you know, he's got that out of the way. And, you know, the baby's, I think, being sleeping in another room for him at the moment. So he's going to be able to really focus. And, you know, he's playing up against the likely Australian halfback. And he can show exactly what he can do.
Who wins and by how much, Denny?
I think Penrith win by 7.
That'll do, mate. Thank you so much. Enjoy GF week.
Thanks, guys.